ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धागोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवम् तं स चानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णगोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुदीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशरीयवचः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके षड्जन षट्पदैरहरः पीपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः सुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदै साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदै गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः Malini, are you able to see me? Because I can't see the image. Okay, it's come now. Fine. Okay. Sadashiva-samarambham Shankaracharya-madhyamam Asmadacharya-paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. Om. So we started the fourth chapter, and as we saw in that, the fourth chapter of the Gita begins with a glorification of the teaching which Lord Krishna had completed in the second and third chapters. The second chapter primarily being Jnana Yoga, and of course part of Karma Yoga also, and the third chapter focusing on Karma Yoga. Now Lord Krishna glorifies this teaching called yoga by pointing out that strictly in Sanskrit you should say yogaha, right? But in English we just refer to it as yoga. So this Gita teaching is not Lord Krishna's own teaching. He has not invented something in the battlefield just so that, you know, he can convince Arjuna. But this has existed in our tradition before also. And in fact, at the time of creation itself, this teaching has been initiated, but with a different name. It is called the Veda or the Shruti. Now this is called Gita teaching. In the beginning of the creation, it was called Veda teaching, right? So what was Veda before is Bhagavad Gita now. That is what he is trying to tell. So Lord Krishna pointed this out by saying that I myself have given the very same teaching in the form of Veda to Surya Bhagavan in the beginning of the creation. In the beginning of the Vaivasvata Manvantara, according to Puranic calculations, which is about 27 Chaturyugas before, I taught to Surya Bhagavan. And it has been coming down amongst the Raja Parampara of Vaivasvata Manu, Ishvaku, right? But unfortunately, Krishna says that this teaching has become weaker in due course, 5000 years back. And says, I am only reviving the same teaching by giving it a kind of a booster. Therefore, the glorification is that this is a time-tested wisdom and it is not a new medicine which is tried on humanity. Lord Krishna does not want to use Arjuna as actually a guinea pig to experiment, right? Because several medicines they invent. Just 1 second. Sorry, I had some disturbance here. Okay. So Lord Krishna wants to say that he is not trying to experiment a new teaching on Arjuna, but this has been a time-tested teaching, right? And he is saying it has been there from Anadi Kalaha, right? Many people, specifically both sannyasi and kshatriyas, he mentioned, have gained wisdom and benefited. Therefore, Arjuna, you can also benefit. So it is a time-tested, reliable teaching, right? This was Krishna's intention for having introduced it that way, right? But what happened? Arjuna, as usual, had a confusion, and we were seeing this in the fourth verse. He said, Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvataha katametad vijaniyam tvamadu proktavaniti. But Arjuna did not get that message correctly. Instead of taking Lord Krishna's message, he started thinking in another manner, right? So which we saw. His doubt was, how can Lord Krishna be the teacher of Arjuna, right? And also be the teacher of Surya Bhagavan so many manvantaras earlier. So Lord Krishna uses the first person singular. He says, I taught Surya Bhagavan. That's what he said. He didn't say Bhagavan taught, right? So he said, I taught and I am teaching you. That means the same Lord Krishna must have existed 27 Chaturyugas earlier, right? So Arjuna is not able to assimilate that, because Arjuna knows that Lord Krishna was born recently. You came at the end of Dwapara Yuga, and You are not even there before Treta Yuga or Krita Yuga. So how can you be the teacher of Surya Bhagavan 27 Chatur Yugas before? There seems to be a chronological discrepancy, right? Can you please clarify, right? That is his confusion. So fourth shloka was Arjuna's question, which we saw in the last class. And one indirect message that we get here is, these students of our scriptures need not blindly swallow the scriptural words. If you have a doubt, you can very well clarify. But only thing is, we are allowed to ask after assimilating the teaching for some time, right? That is one, because we don't want to keep interrupting. And also, you can always ask the question with an intention of seeking clarification and with Shraddha and Bhakti. Reverence towards the Guru and the teaching is very, very important, right? So, Shraddha and Bhakti are important when the question is being asked. So, questions are okay. So, instead of criticizing the Guru and his words, the Shishya here says, I am not able to assimilate. Maybe I have a problem with my intellect. So, would you kindly explain again? That is the kind of attitude that the Shishya has towards the teacher, right? So, that is why if you remember in third chapter also, Arjuna did not say Krishna is contradicting in his teaching. You remember the beginning of the third chapter. He said, Vyamishrena Iva Vakyena. Iva means what Arjuna is saying. It appears that you are contradicting, right? Because Arjuna has reverence and faith for Lord Krishna. So, in our tradition, one very important thing to remember, and this is again reiterating, is every acharya in our tradition has cleared all the doubts. Until all doubts are cleared, questions are allowed. In fact, in advanced Vedantic Granthas, the teacher himself or the teacher herself will raise newer and newer questions, right, from all angles, so that the Shishya does not even have to raise the objection, because sometimes the Shishya cannot coherently raise the objection. So the teacher himself will preempt and ask the raise the objection. It is called Purva Pakshi and Siddhanta, right? Purva Pakshi is the opposition's question and Siddhanta is the explanation. Either it will be in the form of Purva Pakshi and Siddhanta, otherwise it will be in the form of a dialogue between a Guru and Shishya. So Guru himself will pose a question, right? So, and like this, if you see in our culture at that time, we had 12 schools of philosophy. If you remember the very first session of Introduction to Vedanta, I did this because I wanted to make sure that we understood what we call the big picture, right? So what are the 12 schools of philosophy that were prevalent, right, at that time? Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa, these six are Astika Darshanam. All six had belief in the faith, Shraddha in the Vedas. Then four Buddhism sects and two Jainism. These six are Nastika Darshanani. All 12 Darshanas, they used to freely discuss amongst themselves and there used to be debates and they used to call, invite for debates and answer all viewpoints. Still, it is very clearly established that one Darshanam is having all the answers vis-a-vis the other Darshanam. This is how they used to discuss, right? So, this was very much encouraged in our tradition, right? And each one used to bring all the objection, and so many Siddhi Granthas are there where these objections and answers are there. And doubtless knowledge with conviction is what is promoted in our culture. Right? That is why if you see all our Upanishads are in the form of Guru-Shishya dialogue, and also up to the 18th chapter, at regular intervals, Arjuna will keep on asking questions, right? And Krishna will keep explaining from a newer angle, right? And Arjuna, even in the fourth shloka, he is not saying that Krishna is bluffing or something, right? He is saying, you are my Sarathi and I know that you are born now, right, in recent times. How could you have taught Surya Bhagavan? And please explain to me, right? Katam metat vijaniyam. How should I understand this, whatever you are saying? Right? He is not saying that you are wrong or anything, right? So, intellectually, he is very relaxed and prepared to listen to Krishna's response, right? No finding fault with the guru, right? And one important thing is, Swamiji says is, if there are people who, you know, sort of cross-question the guru and the guru feels there is no reverence, then the guru doesn't say anything in our culture. The guru just smiles, keeps quiet, and he says, it's okay, maybe, you know, you can even look at other gurus and all. They have no objection. So the Shishya just moves on, right? So Shraddha and Bhakti become very, very important. So guru will, if he is not feeling that there is, the Shishya is fully committed and convinced, after some time he will just quietly go away. There's no problem, right? So Krishna is going to now answer the question that Arjuna raised from the 5th verse onwards, right? Very important. So in the 4th verse we saw that your birth is later, the birth of the sun is much earlier. How am I to understand this statement of yours that you have taught in the beginning of the creation? So verse 5, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Bahuni me vyatitani, Janmani tava charjuna, Tanyaham veda sarvani, Natvam vitta parantapa.
So Bhagavan Uvacha, Bhagavan clarifies, up to the 9th verse, it is the resolution of Arjuna's confusion, right? 5 to 8. Very, very important topic in whole of Gita, right? So Krishna is now teaching a very important concept, not even of Gita, but of Hinduism itself, right? So this is a evidence of Ishvara Avatara, this portion, which is a very, very unique teaching of Hinduism, namely Bhagavan's avatara, or in English referred as incarnation, right? Ishwarasya avatara. Now he wants to contrast Ishwarasya avatara with Jiva Janma. In the case of Ishwara, it is called avatara, the birth is called avatara, whereas in the case of Jiva, it is called Janma, right? So we use avatara for Bhagavan and Janma for Jiva. Now Krishna wants to make a contrast between the two, right? Obviously very, very important, and some of the very fundamental principles of our scriptural teaching is covered here, right? So the first important lesson according to Hinduism is both Ishvara and Jiva are beginningless, right? Both. A very difficult principle to swallow, but this is very, very important to note and resolve any future questions. According to Hinduism, you must remember that Ishvara is anadi, beginningless, and we should carefully note Jiva is also anadi, beginningless. Ishvara exists beginninglessly in his body called Maya. Maya is considered to be the body of Ishvara, right? So Ishvara with Maya body is anadi, right? And more details of this we will see in the 7th chapter. Great details we will see, right? Here we will see minimum information, but in case you want to, you know, revise, you can always go back to the creation chapter of Vedanta and go through it, right? Not a problem. So to understand the present topic, every jiva, right, is also beginningless. That much if we know, it's fine. And you may recall that we did this in Tattva Bodha. And a jiva, right, in between his janma and in during pralayam, right, he is his adhishtanam, or he is resting in the invisible body called karana shariram, right? We saw this in detail. So every jiva has got a karana shariram, and it is the invisible part where the karma resides, right? So every jiva has existed in the karana shariram from anadi kala, and Ishvara has it in Maya. So this is lesson 1, right? Now each of these lessons requires a lot of assimilation because we are not familiar with these topics, right? So, but we will go over it again and again during the course of Gita, right? So, the second lesson of Hinduism is this Anadi Ishvara with the body called Maya is only one. Ishvara Ekaha, whereas Jiva Anekaha. Very, very important. Even though we worship one Ishvara through multiple symbols, right, or multiple Ishtadevatas, that Ishvara is Ekaha. And innumerable number of Jivas, countless Jivas are there, right? So, the next one, the third one is, every Jiva has got a free will potentially, which can be exercised to do good or bad actions. Very carefully watch. Every Jiva has got a free will potentially. The reason why we use the word potentially is because in some of the Janmas, this is suppressed. What are those Janmas? Anything other than the human Janma, the free will is suppressed. Right? Animals and birds act in a pre-programmed instinctive manner. Plants is still more suppressed, right? But it doesn't mean that free will is not there. It is there in potential form. And with the help of this free will, every Jiva has accumulated countless punyams and papams over multiple Janmas. So at any time the Jiva has an accumulated bank balance of karma, punyam and papam, right? Which is generally referred to as sanchita karma. What has been accumulated in the body, in the karana shariram over multiple janmas, right? So, this unique invisible body is called the karana shariram. If you remember, in shariratrayam we studied stula shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. So, Karana Shariram is the one in which this is a, the punyams and papa karmas are stored. So, Bhagavan's birth is called Avatara, right? Whatever we saw just now. And it is beginningless and it is Ekaha. Whereas Jiva is beginningless in the form of Karana Shariram, it, the potential state, and it is countless, right? Now, we are just going to revisit the key aspects of creation, right? If you want details, you can refer to talk 9, topic 13 on creation. But we will see the important ones here. So, Ishvara does the creation, right? Now, when Ishvara creates a world, Ishvara cannot create the Jivas. Very, very important point. Why? Because Jivas are anadi. They are always there, right? So, therefore, Ishvara need not, will not and cannot create a Jiva. Very important to note. So, when we ask, why has God made me like this? No. Ishvara cannot create and will not and definitely he is not, he need not create the Jivas. Right? Now, the Jivas are anadi. Right? So, according to the karmas which are there in the Karana Shariram, Ishvara will create the bodies. So, the physical bodies are created, right? Neither by the Jiva nor the Karana Shariram. What is actually created, right? Is the Sukshma and Stula Shariram. Karana Shariram is always there in potential form. Jiva is always there. So, what is getting created at the time of creation? Very important. Sukshma Shariram and Stula Shariram. That's all, right? Stula Sukshma Shariram is being created. And does Bhagavan create this according to him, his whims and fancies? No. As per the law of karma, he creates these Jivas and he creates the bodies, the Stula Shariram through the mothers. And the bodies are according to the Punya Papa Karma, for which the Jiva already has in the Karana Shariram. Now, we saw the law of karma. Just 2 minutes I'll take. A part of the Sanchita karma fructifies at the time of Jiva's birth, right? So, that is what fructifies as Prarabdha karma and that determines the body, the Janma, everything. It's the prototype of the Jiva, right? So it is not Ishvara who is doing anything here. Ishvara is going by the law of karma and creating the sthula shariram and sukshma shariram through the mother's body. Right? So, therefore, according to the law of karma, Ishvara regularly provides physical bodies to the jiva. Right? Very, very important. So, all my punya papa karma was already existing in the karana shariram. And the jiva has already taken countless bodies before and is continuing its cycle. Right? Very, very important. So, the body has got a date of birth, but jiva does not have a date of birth. Right? So, the body has got a date of birth. The physical body. Right? The sthula shariram. Right? So, when we say I was born on such and such a date, according to Hinduism, I am not born because the anadi jiva is not born. I have acquired this body on such and such a day, and at the time of death, I will not die. I will only shed the mortal coil. We saw this in the second chapter, 22nd verse. Vasansi jirnani yatavihaya navani grinnati naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. Right? In the 22nd verse of the second chapter we saw this, where I have been there in all the yugas, all the srishtis, not with this particular body. Right? That is why during the upakarma, the avanyavata sankalpam, there is a particular two or three words that are used. Anadi avidya vasanaya. Anadi avidya vasanaya means multiple janmas of this avidya, the ignorance and the vasanas I have carried, right? And I am lucky to be born as a manushya now. Why lucky to be born as manushya? Because you have free will, so you can satisfy all the purusharthas, right? You can influence your karma, and most importantly, this is the only janma in which you can strive towards moksha. Right? Very, very important. So, therefore, Lord Krishna says, all of us have taken many bodies and have shed many bodies. Right? This is only a janma, and this is the jiva can express the free will only in human body. So, jiva is anadi, Ishvara is anadi, jiva has karana shariram, jiva has free will, jiva has countless karmas, jiva keeps on taking the body, shedding the body, right? We have been eternally existing, right? Very, very important. Lot of questions can come up in your mind as I speak this. We will slowly clarify, not a problem. As we move along in the Gita, all these doubts that you might get will get clarified automatically, right? So, if you want to go back and revise, you can revise these topics. It will be definitely useful. So, the key aspects of Ishvara, just now that we've covered Jiva, right? Very, very important, right? So, Ishvara has got invisible Maya as his body. Just as Jiva has Karana Shariram as his body, Ishvara has got Maya, right? As the causal body, or the Karana Prapancham is Maya, right? So, now, Ishvara has to create the world. The actual terminology to be used is not create the world, manifest the world, right? As well as the bodies of the jiva, right? 14 lokas are there, countless bodies are there, right? And jivas are spread over various lokas according to the punyam and papam, right? So, there is always a mixture. So, Bhagavan's job is to create the world, create the body, and let the world go on. Now, this Ishvara is having manifested, he has to maintain and he has to resolve back, right? During Brahma's day and night, this is what alteration happens between creation, manifestation, maintenance, and resolution, right? So, for the perfect maintenance of the body, Bhagavan has prescribed dharma as the health of the universe, right? Very, very important. Bhagavan is the protector, right, of the dharma. But what happens? Sometimes the humanity as a whole forgets the importance of dharma and adharma becomes prominent. So when adharma becomes predominant and dharma becomes minority, even if I want to follow dharma, I am not allowed. Right? It starts happening in the world, you can see, right? So there are a lot of people who don't want to follow traffic rules, a lot of corruption, there are a lot of issues. We have problems at the court level, at the government level, everything, right? So what happens when dharma becomes minority, right? Then Bhagawan, you must remember that whole world is his body, is his health, right? So they say the cosmic defense mechanism kicks in, right? So just as our body has got an immunity system, which will not be active in normal time, but will start producing antibodies, etc., when the bacteria comes in, right, to protect the body, right? Like that, similarly, to maintain the cosmic harmony, there is a cosmic defense mechanism utilized by the Bhagavan, which is called Ishvara Avataraha. Very important point. So, Avataraha is a cosmic defense mechanism, Ishvara Avatara, to maintain the harmony or health of the universe, right, which is Dharma. So, one particular verse that all of us would be familiar with, right, is if there is one verse in Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Pichishkutam Dharma Samsthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. We have time. Today we will cover Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya and this very, very important two verses of the entire Gita, very, very popular also, right? We teach a child very young to, you know, chant this without even knowing the meaning because it is such an important verse, right? So, Ishvara Avatara is a defense mechanism that kicks in when adharma prevails, right? So, exactly like sneezing or vomiting, right? So, Bhagavan has his own way of dealing with it. Now, the type of avataram will depend upon the kind of problem you have, right? Now, if Hiranyakashipu is the problem, right, who has taken so many boons, I should not be killed during day time, night time, I should not be killed inside the house, outside the house, neither with the hands nor with the weapons. If he has got such a boon from the smart Bhagavan, so Bhagavan would have to take an avatara in such a way that he satisfies all these conditions yet can put an end to that adharma. So that is how the avatara has come. The Narasimha avatara has come that way, right? So very important is type of avataram depends on the type of problem, right? Then people, when this person became a problem, right, Hiranyakashipu, then the only possible avatara is Narasimha avatara. So thus Ishvara will take the appropriate body as required. So we don't have to be worried at all at the appropriate time and come and make sure that the cosmic dharma is brought back, right? Very, very important. Now, there are four main differences between avatara and jiva's janma, which we are going to see. Alongside, we've already seen some important principles. We will see the main differences also, which are going to be covered in the following shloka also, right? So, we will quickly cover that. So, the first difference is the cause, right? The cause of janma and avataram. In the case of jiva, the cause of birth is punya papa karma. Karma is the cause of janma. In the case of Ishvara, it is not punya papam. Ishvara is beyond punyam and papam. Because Ishvara avatara is beyond this, it cannot happen due to this, right? It is because of the prarthana or the prayers offered by helpless bhaktas when they know that serious adharma is going on, right? We have lot of problems, government, scam, all of this, right? Beyond a certain stage, we don't have to be worried, right? We do our best. But when adharma kicks in and there is a sincere prayer to the gods by the bhaktas, automatically the avatara descends. And the avatara can be in any form. Of course, so many people claim that they are avataras today. No, but God can come in any form, right? Very, very important. So prarthana becomes the cause of avatara. This is the difference in cause. Now the second difference is with regard to the material with which the body is created, the raw material. Bhagavan's is maika shariram, right? Now what does that mean? The raw material is totally different. Now when Bhagavan wants to take Narasimha avatara from the pillar, right? Prahlada is calling. He has to take an avatara. He can't get into a mother's womb, wait for 10 months and all. Where is the time, right? Now, there is a way by which the Ishwara avatara can quickly descend. That is why it's called Maika Shariram, right? And it is not made of Panchabhutas. Whereas the human Shariram is made of Bhautika Shariram by Panchabhutas, right? So, the Maika Shariram can appear anywhere, anytime, in any form, right? That is why I always wonder, you know, there are a few people, I don't know whether you have, any of you have had these experiences, but there are a few people who narrate their encounter with God so vividly, right? We saw this Om Swami's book also had depicted Tripura Sundari so much as if, you know, we felt that she was right in front, right? And similarly, there was somebody else the other day, a normal person who was speaking to me, who said, I am 100% sure that I saw Venkata Chalapati in that form with dark in just outside the house. Now, we don't dispute any of these. We don't question any of these. We do not analyze any of these. Because avataras can be maika, shariram, can appear and disappear. Right? Very important. Whereas the human shariram is bhautika, shariram. Very, very important. So, raw material is the difference, the second one. Now, the nature. Bhagavan is sarvajnaha or omniscient, right? Whereas, jiva is alpajnaha or samsari, full of self-ignorance, right? What is self-ignorance? We must remember, atma and the descriptions, the seven descriptions, nityaha, satyaha, akarta, abhokta, aprameya, sarvagataha, nirvikaraha. Now, Bhagavan knows that he is the Brahman, Atma, who is descending, right? Whereas, as an avatara, he knows that. Whereas, a jiva does not know that. He has to go through so much of scriptural studies, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, then also go through all the sadhana chatushtya sampati. He must have to first absorb the teaching. Then he realizes and then, you know, he's a jivan mukta, etc. So, normally, if you leave these few jnanis aside, normally the jiva, right, is an alpajna, samsari, full of self-ignorance. So, that is the third importance, the third difference, right? The fourth important difference is purpose, right? Very, very important. So, the protection of the dharmic people and the destruction of powerful adharmic people is the purpose of the Bhagavan avatara. Whereas, the human being first has to exhaust all the papa punyam, right? That is the main reason why the prarabdha karma is the reason for the janma. So, the prarabdha karma has to get exhausted, number one. Then he is also accumulating krish, papam and punyam, right? So, as he is doing this, the second thing is to try and make use of the human janma to attain moksha. Because it is the only janma in which you can attain moksha. So, very, very important point. So, these four are the differences, right? And Bhagavan actually, they say, takes an avatara for dushta shikshanam and shishta rakshanam. It is to teach the bad people a lesson and to take care or protect the good people, right? So, that is the purpose of avatara. Very, very important. So, four critical differences between Ishwara and Jiva. So, the following verses is going to cover each one of these aspects, right? So, we were seeing the fifth verse before we entered. So, hey Arjuna, I the Lord have taken innumerable bodies in the form of avatara, matsya, kurma, varaha, right? Vamana, Parashurama, and now Krishna Shariram. I've taken many bodies. Bahuni Janmani. What about you? You are also Anadi. Therefore, you also existed in the previous Dwapara Yuga. You also existed in Treta Yuga, Krita Yuga, in the previous Manvantara also. Bahuni Janmani Vyatitani. But the difference is, Aham Tani Sarvani Veda. I being the Sarvajna Ishwaraha, I know I am Ishwara, I am not the body. Right? This is like a temporary dress I am wearing. Not only that, I also have the details of all my previous Janma. Right? So, that is why Krishna could say that in the beginning of the Vaivasvata Manvantara, I taught Surya Bhagavan. He did not say Mahavishnu taught. He said, I taught Surya Bhagavan. Right? And not with Krishna Shariram. Right? But with Vishnu Shariram, obviously. Right? So, Swam Naveta, you don't remember the past Janma. As I have said, our problem is having even temporary memory of what happened in the recent past. So, where to think of past Janmas, right? We are not able to manage so much of memories. Bhagavan has intelligently concealed the knowledge of the Purva Janma. Otherwise, just imagine, in this Janma itself, we have strong likes, dislikes. Oh, this person did something to me, that person did something to me. Imagine if you remember, oh, I was a cat in that Janma and he was a mouse in that Janma and the other one was a snake and mongoose. Just imagine how much of problems it would create on a day-to-day basis. So, Bhagavan has actually given us a blessing by concealing the knowledge of Purva Janma, right? So, very, very important. So, here if you see, this is difference number one. This is the first, the difference that Krishna is speaking about, but we listed it as the nature, the third point in the previous slide that we saw. Continuing,
Ajopisannavyayatma, Bhutanamishwaropisan, Prakritim Swamadishtaya, Prakritim Swamadishtaya, Sambhavamyatma Mayaya, Sambhavatma Ayaya.
So, this is the sixth verse, right? And here Krishna says, unlike a jiva who does not know what his real nature is, and jiva mistakes the body as himself or herself, Krishna says, I clearly know I am the Atma, right? All of the seven descriptions that we saw in the seventh chapter, in the second chapter, he knows, right? So, really speaking, I am birthless from the standpoint of the pervading Atma, the all-pervading Atma. So, I am Avyaya Atma and I don't have modifications that belong to the body. The body has what? Balyam, Kaumaryam, right? Yauvanam, that means what? Childhood, then growing up, then, you know, being a youth, then growing old, Jara, Mrityu, all of this happens, right? So, I know I am Atma, free from all the changes. I am the Avyaya Atma, changeless in my nature and Bhutanam Ishwaropisan, right? I am the Ishwara, the master, who cannot be controlled by anything in this creation. He knows that, right? And I have taken, even though I have taken this particular body, I am aware that this is a drama, a role that I am playing, right? As an avatara. Rama, for instance, helplessly goes to the forest, helplessly loses Sita, right? He knows that he is the avatara, but he goes through the drama, right? It's, Swamiji gives this very interesting anecdote. He says it's like Amitabh Bachchan taking the role of a beggar. Being one of the richest persons, he plays that role. Even when he is moving with a begging bowl, he knows that he is a rich actor and he is going to become richer for playing the beggar role, right? For, because he must be charging crores, right? So, knowing that he is the all-pervading Atma, Bhagavan plays these roles because in this avatara, he has to play that Manushya avatara, that role, right? So, Prakritim Swamadishtaya, keeping the Prakriti means his body-mind complex, the various instruments that he is using for playing the drama of the life. He keeps all of them under his control. Sambhavam yatma mayaya. As though I am born. I just put on a vesham. But this is a maya. My body is maya and I can create this. I can create the body at will. Right? So, that's why if you see in the Puranas, even when Devaki, when Krishna is born, Krishna just enters the womb and comes. That's all. It's not that he's spending 10 months in the stomach, right? That's very important, right? So, they'll point out that Krishna does not enter, the Purana says did not enter the womb of the Devaki in the regular manner, but unconventional manner entered the womb because it is Mayika Shariram and he was born directly, right? So, even Rama, they say, this Swargarohanam towards the end, right? They call when the avatara is supposed to end. Rama entered the Sarayu river and walked into the river and disappeared, right? So, therefore, the type of body is different. So, this one refers to the raw material, right? The second difference that we saw. Though I am birthless and deathless, though I am the Lord of being, still I take birth through my own Maya by restoring to my Prakriti. Right, the raw material is maya. Continuing.
Yada yada hi dharmasya, yada yada hi dharmasya, glanir bhavati bharata, glanir bhavati bharata, abhyuttanam adharmasya, tadātmānam śrījāmyaham.
Here Krishna is talking about the purpose of avatara, which is different from janma of jīva. Right? This is the fourth point that I had listed in the tabular format. Okay? So, what is the purpose? Right? Actually, this verse became very popular because I think it was the top music of the Mahabharata serial that we were all glued in our childhood, right? So, dharmasya glanihi, what does that mean? Whenever there is a waning of the dharma, yata yata, whenever there is a waning of dharma or values, as I said, dharma is the health of the cosmos. So, dharma's waning means the health of the cosmos is impacted. Glanihi bhavati adharmasya abhyutanam. So, adharma is increasing, cheating, killing, stealing, bluffing, all these values are going away, right? You can see even now it's getting eroded, unlike the earlier days, right? And even educated people who know, right, they are violating dharma and corruption is becoming prevalent, right? So, adharmasya abhyutanam. Adharma means the disease of the cosmos, right? And avatara, the defense mechanism of cosmos kicks in, right? So, the method in which the immunity works is depends on the type of disease, as I said. So, if it is temperature, it must increase or it must be vomiting or one of the many ways by which the waste can be eliminated, right? So, tata, at that time, right? Like the case of Hiranyakashipu, at that time, Atmanam Aham Shrijami. I create voluntarily myself. So, this is generally indicated in the Puranas in the form of a Prarthana, right? So, in Bhagavatam also you can see some 22 avataras are actually enumerated, not just 10, right? So, the avatara can change the numbers, right? How you count it depends on that, right? So, the important point here is that whenever dharma wanes, Bhagavan can take avatara at will based on the prarthana of the bhaktas. So, O Arjuna, right, whenever there is a decline of dharma and increase of adharma, then indeed I manifest myself. Right? Very important verse.
Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha duskritam, dharma samsthapanarthaya, dharma samsthapanarthaya, sambhavami yuge yuge, sambhavami yuge yuge.
As I said, this is one of the most often repeated shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita and also forms a daily prayer in most families. Thus, it is my responsibility as the creator of the universe, Lord Krishna says, to maintain the orderliness and health of the universe. And for that, I protect dharma, right? So, Lord Krishna says, dharma is not a material substance. Values are not material substance which can be protected by putting it away or keeping it in the bank, right? Therefore, dharma being non-material, protection of dharma has to be done only indirectly. So, what is the indirect method of protecting dharma? Lord Krishna says, dharma will be protected when the followers of dharma are protected. Right? And when the followers of dharma are protected, indirectly dharma will also be protected. Similarly, adharma also is a non-material thing. It's not a substance. So, corruption, right, is not a substance which you can just burn or destroy. So, how do you destroy adharma? Only by eliminating the followers of adharma. Therefore, by protecting dharmic janaha and by destruction of the adharmic janaha, right? And in our Puranas, they are symbolized as devas and asuras. They are the symbol, right? Devas and the dharmic people and asuras the adharmic people. Whether there are other lokas where celestials are there or not, in Bhuloka itself, we can see devas and asuras if we define them like that, right? So, divine people who follow values are devas. Asuras means committed to sense, pleasure, materialistic people, and for them the pursuit of materialistic goals at the cost of compromising dharma is important, right? So, they are called asura, right? Asu actually means sense organ. So, therefore, by extension, sense pleasures, materialism, etc., who protect material life, violating dharma, right? So, sadhunam paritranaya. So, sadhu in Sanskrit means dharmic people, right? So, dharmika purushaha, these people, right, paritranaya, for saving them, if they themselves are able to fight and win, I will not come, right? When their hands are tied, then, and adharmic people get an upper hand, like in the Mahabharata itself, Duryodhana had become so powerful, Shakuni, the corrupt Shakuni, right, who uses deception in the die game, right? So, when Pandavas were in minority, right, and we had to, and then God had to step in, right? So, in the Dhyana Shloka itself, we saw, right, Bhishma, Drona, all of them, very powerful people, right, they supported the adharmic side, right, very, very important point. So, paritranaya, sadhunam, dushkritam, vinashaya. So, for the destruction of the corrupt adharmic people, I will come down. The word destruction must be taken in two meanings, right? Bhagavan does not use violence as the first remedy. No. First aim is that changing or transforming the corrupt people. Duryodhana himself was advised by so many people, right? Vidura talks about it. Vidura Niti is very famous and lot of teaching is done so that the corrupt people will change their way. Only when non-violent methods fail, right, actual destruction is used, right? So, initial method is transformation. First, Bhagavan will attempt through education, destruction of the corrupt thought in the mind. When it is not destructible, then Bhagavan will have to destroy. So, Ravana was given the last chance, right? Go today and come tomorrow. There also he failed, right? So, finally, dharma samsthapanam, dharma, the values have to be protected, right? So, this is applicable not only in the case of dharma, but also in the case of followers of dharma, they have to be protected, right? Very, very important. This is applicable to even sciences and, you know, arts. Like, if Carnatic music has to flourish, the people who sing have to be supported, right? So like that, dharma also, the practitioners of dharma have to be protected. So for dharmika protection, dharma samstha panarthaya sambhavami, I take a body and appear. When will I do that? Yuge yuge. Literally it means every yuga, right? You should not take it in that sense, but whenever required, an avatara will come down. God will come down as an avatara. So very, very important. Nowadays we cannot identify avataras, because avatara can be just a human, normal human form also, right? So, and many people also claim avatarahood these days. So we don't know. But God will come down as an avatara when required to establish dharma. So the purpose has been covered here, right? So for the protection of the righteous ones, for the destruction of the unrighteous ones, and for the establishment of dharma, I take birth in every yuga, right? Age, every yuga. Continuing. Janma karma cha me divyam, janma karma cha me divyam, evam yo veti tattvatah, evam yo veti tattvatah, syaktva deham punarjanma, syaktva deham punarjanma, naiti mameti sorjuna, naiti mameti sorjuna. Now, with the previous verse, the topic of avatara is over, right? It's an incidental topic introduced by Lord Krishna to answer Arjuna's doubt. And what was Arjuna's doubt? How did Lord Krishna teach Surya several yugas before, when Lord Krishna was born only recently? And what is the answer? Even though Lord Krishna's Shariram is born recently, the Ishvara behind the Lord Krishna Shariram, right, has been existing from Anadikale during Surya Bhagavan's time also. So with a different body, a different avatara, Ishvara has taught Surya. So there is no chronological discrepancy, right? In fact, Arjuna does know that Lord Krishna is an avatara. Still he asks the question so that we, the humanity, will come to know. For the benefit of others, he asks this question, right? Now, having completed this topic now, Lord Krishna comes to our subject matter, the main one, means of liberation. How to attain the spiritual goal is the original topic for which alone Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga were taught in the second and third chapters. Right? In the second chapter, obviously Jnana Yoga was highlighted, and in third chapter, Karma Yoga was highlighted. So Lord Krishna said, follow Karma Yoga, refine the mind, follow Jnana Yoga, attain liberation, even while living in this world. Right? In following Jnana Yoga, we acquire Jnanam. So, Jnana Yoga means acquisition of Jnanam. So, what Jnanam? Atma Jnanam. So, in the second chapter, Krishna spoke about Atma Jnanam, which will give liberation, right? So, Jnana Yoga is for knowledge, and that knowledge is for what? Is for moksha. Atma Jnanena Moksha. So, Krishna explains what is Atma. Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Satyaha, etc. So here Krishna presents this in a slightly different language. So that he also gives a different message. He says, by gaining Ishvara Jnanam, right, you can get liberation. By getting Ishvara Jnanam, you can get liberation. Through God realization, you can get moksha. In the second chapter, what did he say? Through self-realization, you can get moksha. Now there is a confusion. Should I work for self-realization or should I work for God realization? It appears as if Lord Krishna is confusing. If you don't remember the second chapter, then no problem. But if you happen to remember, right, very, very important, he says self-realization is moksha. And now he says God realization, right? So which one is correct? Now Shankaracharya writes a nice commentary on this part, right? So in his commentary, he says both are right. Self-realization or God realization, both can give moksha. So naturally, the question will come as to how. We have to understand the hidden message. So in like in, you know, equations we write in mathematics, right? So we say self-realization is equal to God realization. Then you cancel realization on both sides. Self is equal to God, right? How is self equal to God? See, claiming the higher nature, essentially Atma is behind the Shariratrayam and Brahman is behind the Prapanchatrayam, which we saw in Aikyam. It is referred to as Aikyam. This equation, you don't call it equal equation. It's called Aikyam, right? Jiva, Ishvara, Aikyam. We saw that. So essentially, Brahman and Atma are one and the same, which are blessing the Prapanchatrayam and the Shariratrayam, right? Now, since this is a very, very important topic, of course, it's also time. So we will get into this in the next class. So we will now chant Purnamada. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. One important point I wanted to, you know, share with you. I happened to meet Swamiji last week and give him a brief on, you know, how my classes were proceeding. He really took interest to find out how I was doing through GoToWebinar, etc. Now, what he suggested was that only change that he suggested was, why don't you tell your class that they can ask questions at the end, not a problem, but it will be more effective if they ask questions of the previous class, because they would have had time to assimilate the class, go back, think and come up with any questions if they have. So I thought I will leave that thought with you. But anyway, now I'll open up to see if there are any questions, because today was a very, very important and heavy class. So I don't see any questions typed in yet. Let me see the attendees who are there. Anybody has any questions? Yeah. Mohana? Do you have a question? Your the hand symbol is up. Mohana? No, I don't think he's on the line.
No.
Yeah, Mohana?
No, there's something wrong with that thing. So I'm sorry, and it was a mistake, that line thing, when I was trying to do that. Every time I do that mistake, I don't know which is the correct thing, but I'm so
no
sorry.
No problem. Okay, anybody else has any questions? Yeah, feel free to think through. I know a lot happened today in the class, and it is a very, very important subject that we covered today. And you can always send your questions to either me or to sanskritfromhome.in, and we can even take it up in the coming week. Hari Om. So we'll close the class now, because I don't see any other symbols here, hand symbols going. Ah, okay, there's one. Ramaya Narayanan.
Yeah, namaste madam.
Namaste.
Thank you very much for a very clear explanation, and your lectures are very much educative, and I'm able to understand as well. My question is, in today's talk, whatever you explained about the creation, it gives me the feeling that it is in the Vishishta Advaita principle. It doesn't appeal too much towards Advaita philosophy.
Okay.
You said Atmas and Jivatmas are anadi, they are existing all the time.
And
so that means that Jivatma can never merge with Paramatma.
We didn't come to the topic of, let me repeat the questions for my students here. I spoke about Jivatmas being anadi and Paramatma also being anadi. So it appears that we are speaking Vishishta Advaitam, not Advaitam. Today's topic that we covered would make you think like that. I'm not saying no, but we have not discussed the Aikyam today. I just touched upon it in the last, very last sentence before I close. The essential nature of both the Jivatma and Paramatma, Brahman and Atma, is the same in Advaita philosophy, right? So claiming that higher nature, right, is moksha. So I am not this Sharira Trayam. I am not the Stula Sukshma Karana Shariram, but I am this Atma, right? And I have incidentally this body. That is Advaitam, and that is where, you know, the difference or the significant high point of Advaitam will come in. Until that, if you see most of the other, the general classes, you will see Paramatma and Jivatma being spoken about differently only, because that is the Vyavaharika Satyam. I did not want to use some of these terms, but in Advaitam, the Paramarthika Satyam, which is essential nature of both the Jivatma and Paramatma, is Brahman or Atma. If I have not managed to convince you, I think there's a lot of teaching behind it. I'm sure with time we will get there.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. But this is a very, very important question that came up. Very nice. Anybody else? Sunil Kumar. Yeah, Sunil Kumar.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my question is, in the 18th chapter, Sri Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parityajya. So that means, is he talking about the impersonal form of Godhead or the personalized form? This is a kind of a follow-up to the previous question. So is he talking about Advaita kind of philosophy or the bhakti sort of movement? And the second thing is there any scientific evidence for these 18 lokas?
Okay. The first one on this Sarva Dharman Parityajya, we must remember that the interpretation is different between Vishishta Advaitins and Advaitins. When we go through the Advaitic interpretation, because I'm doing Shankara Bhashyam, you would see that everywhere when we speak, when we speak of Advaitam, we will always refer to the Paramarthika Satyam, and we will always talk about the essential oneness of both Jiva as well as Ishvara. So regardless of the stanza, this is what we would be speaking, and we would say if the emphasis is on God, prayers, pujas, etc., that is Vyavaharika Satyam for Chitta Shuddhi, etc. That is how the interpretation is consistent, right? So I don't want to, you know, confuse everybody at this stage. Gradually we will get there. Now on the point on this lokas, the lokas have been described in detail in the Shastras. But one very, very important thing when we study Shastras is we do not use science to prove Shastras. That will not work. Shastras is very clearly a separate channel. So if you believe in Papam Punyam, then all the lokas, everything is described. Basically, if you believe in the Vedas and say, okay, I'll accept what is there in the Vedas, enough description of the lokas is there in the Vedas. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, so we will take other questions next week, and dhanyavadaha.